What up, though? You are tuning in to What Works For Us, the Black Queer Lifestyle Podcast,
where we'll discuss everything black and queer,
mental health,
relationships,
art,
fashion.
We take it back our culture, y'all.
Carry my city like some shoulder pads and strap. Evidently, I've been killing.
Hey.
Hey. Hey.
Oh, this holiday?
Hey, it's a holiday. I got hoes on hoes and they're out of control.
Hey,
hey, it's another way. All my niggas on gold.
Hey, hey.
I can't even close my eyes and I don't know why. I guess I don't like
surprises. Hey, turn up.
I can't even stay away from the game that I played.
Hey.
Don't know what's today.
Uh-oh.
Hey, can I pop shit? I might brought them on the low.
Hey, this is versatile. Hey, my nigga versatile. My nigga, you know what, Lil Nas X? I had to update all my screensavers. Edmondson, have you seen it?
No, why did you have to change it?
Well, you know, I had Omarion up there for so long, but I felt like he did so much great work with his pictures. I love that picture. He's so cunt with all his little. I thought about you, like, could you all that ice and bedazzled on his neck and with the pearls. And I just love this picture. How do I get this off of here? Oh, yeah. Okay. So, yeah. Hey, you guys are listening to What Works For Us. All black.
All queer.
Lil Nas X, I love you.
Oh, okay.
No, I mean, I just feel like he. You know, I was telling Will about this the other day. We're not giving him, I feel like the black queer scholars, the black queer people, just the black queer community, that we support him as a music artist. And I think we're not giving him the critique and the acknowledgement of the things that he is doing, being and not just black and gay or black and queer. He's really queer. Like, he's really one of us. He is one of the girls that is out there on mainstream. But, I mean, when he popped out in that video with the skirt, with the wig, and baby, he was doing his routines, he was just so cunt. Like, it was just so cute. And I just feel like we're not really giving him a lot of acknowledgement in the work that he's doing. Because he could have easily just been black and gay, you know, like a lot of them are.
Mm, or not right, or in the closet, just don't say nothing.
Yeah.
Well, being fraudulent.
Yeah, even coming out and not even leaning into. I mean, this picture of him kissing himself, I think it's the sexiest picture ever, right? Like, he got this wig on, tonguing himself down. Like, the hip hop community is mad, girl.
Just the hip hop community.
Oh, the female, everybody.
Everybody is pro black community. Poor black be talking about him. They be saying his name a lot. You gonna be like a little Nas? I'm like, oh my gosh.
He really. Too gay.
Yeah, he is
too gay. That's what I said. That's why I love him. He is too gay. And I mean, not in a negative way. I'm just saying, like, I love it. It's like, and so, like, when I use the word faggot, I'm not using it derogatory, but I'm using it in a way that we gay. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've always said in a lot of these, even when I was talking about my book when we grew up, we were gay. We was not in the hood. We were gay at school, gay in the streets. We were gay.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't really put on,
no. You
know, and I feel like Lil Nas X just represents a 21-year-old gay boy.
He does. He really does. You know, I guess I don't either. I guess I don't support him, or even not just him, even though I was talking about Saucy Santana the other day, and I don't know if that video was new. I don't know.
No, she be going him. We don't give enough props to her either.
Yeah, Saucy Santana, it was a video, and y'all listeners, y'all can't see it, but it was one I was looking at last night, and it was the one with Mulatto. I think they had already done it, but I had never saw it. And I was like, bitch, are you doing this in a video? Like, he was on a pole, and he had a dress on with some boots, and I'm here for it.
I mean, what the fuck? When do we get this black queer renaissance all of a sudden? Like, because, I mean, he working with Mulatto, he worked with light-skinned Keisha. Yes, he ain't here to play with the girls.
Right.
Look at the thong. She did not come here to play with the girl.
No.
Like, Saucy Santana is giving you full throttle bitch.
And to be honest, he's being like, he's a dream come true, because he's like, he's not a dream come true. He's doing the things that a lot of us gays wish we could do with our favorite female rappers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because he's worked Mulatto. He's working with all of them. Like, Keisha.
And really working on rapping. Yeah. Like, it's a rap song.
Yeah.
It ain't no, like, no ghetto. I mean, it's ghetto in the meaning that it's hip-hop, but it's some official shit. Like, he's doing it. Like, and he's representing, like, what, to me, we finally get to see what that would look like.
Yeah.
Like, what would it look like, a black, gay hip-hop artist? But because, you know, let me tell you, so while I really respect Saucy Santana, and somehow sometimes these, some of these other rappers begin on, these gay rappers begin on my nerve, if I see another gay rapper rap with their hands like this, all this, I'm so tired of the rap hands from the gay boys. I'm like, okay, girl, you doing more hand movement than you actually doing.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't want to call them out. We've seen them at South by Southwest before. I'd just be like, you know, like, girl, like, bitch, okay, girl, we get it, you gay. Like, girl, give me something else than, yeah, like, these gay hands.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and not saying that everybody has to be like a Saucy Santana, right?
Yeah, no.
Gayness comes, you know, queerness comes on a spectrum. It's all, it's just so beautiful to me to even know that I could even have this conversation to critique another gay rapper.
Okay.
But I definitely feel like Saucy Santana is representing a little something more major than just a, you know, a cis, you know, a masculine appearing, definitely, gay boy that, you know, is
definitely
putting up the gay hands and trying to rap. I can't stand it.
Yeah, no. I personally really should be here for Saucy Santana. She should be like my daughter. Like, why she like, wait, no, bitch, you my daughter. No, Ashley, you would be my daughter.
But, okay, right, bitch, you would be my daughter.
Right,
okay.
But yeah, no, I'm here for all of that. And I, you know, I love, like, you know,
working
with female rappers, and his clothes or his outfits, like some of the outfits he begins and stuff like that, like he puts thought into it. It's like, it don't look like just some of them, like, you're like, okay, but there's some of them like, oh, well, you look like you really put some thought into that. Like, mm-hmm. He's like, it's almost like he's pulling from the female rappers and making like their style and stuff like that, making it like his own, like, mm-hmm, something I would do. So, but Lil Nas S too, with that, you know, a Christmas song like, yes, that, like,
that was just so sickening.
Yeah, and the video was everything.
The video is everything. The beat and the cuntness, and, you know, what do you think about the "I might bottom on the low, but I top shit" line? That, yeah, like, how did you feel about that? Like, do we think we would actually hear,
right,
a mainstream song talk about bottoming and, right, topping,
okay,
so directly? But it kind of speaks to how your critique of rap, that everything is so literal now.
Oh, yeah.
That was very literal.
Very,
like,
literal.
He went right for the gusto, like, bam. Like, I'm thinking, like, the little kid's gonna be like, I might bottom on the low, but I top shit.
Oh, no.
You know, no. Like, okay, you know, even though most kids don't know what they be saying,
yeah, no,
anyway.
That's true.
But he threw that in there, bitch. Okay. He get an A+ for that one. Lil Nas X, I love you, baby. But I'm really at a good place when I think, when it comes to I bring up Will a lot. He's a critique of, like, you know, black queer art and culture and stuff like that. Specifically, like, hip hop and stuff. So I attacked him a little bit. And not really attacked him. I really just brought to his attention my need, or a need for us to start, you know, critiquing and analyzing the work of Lil Nas X, Saucy Santana. We need to really get some, you know, op-ed articles out there. We need to really, you know, put them on a plateau as well. Because I feel like if it's not, while we're expanding, you know, like trans rights and trans visibility and a lot of different visibilities, I don't want us to lose fact on the fact of some stuff that's still being, you know, being worked. Like a Saucy Santana, like, okay, they're not trans that I know of, whatever. They go by, I guess, he, him, she, her pronouns. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't want us to, like, minimize the, like, or someone like Lil Nas X, because they already have a platform. Because that, I think that is to be spoken, that he did this in front of the world.
Yeah.
He's doing this in front of the world.
Yeah.
You're talking about, and it's a 21-year-old boy. You know what I'm saying? Who, ain't no telling what kind of threats, what kind of stuff that's going on behind the scenes, from the record label, from you know, it's just no telling because we know what it is just regularly, you know, and he's doing it in front of the world.
You're absolutely right. I think I need to do better with that. I don't want to seem like, because I know sometimes I don't know if it comes off like I don't like support these girls. Like, oh, girl, like, you know, like that's cute. I might not like their music, but them kind of like Jill Scott's new podcast, them, you know, showing up as themselves or being who they are, I'm 1,000% for that. Mm-hmm. And I think I do need to start amplifying that, even though maybe not right now, my platform is not that big. But as I start to move and I start to get a platform, I do want to amplify these people because I want not just him, but my new spirit animal, Alonzo. And he called himself a boy, so I'm going to say boy.
Yeah.
But I want to rap. Girl,
like,
I'm saying
they're fans. Like, really, you know, be fans of.
Yeah.
Like, but you know, I agree with you. Like, that can become an issue when you're not really a fan of their music.
Yeah.
Right? Like, how much I really love Saucy Santana overall, but I cannot listen to a whole album.
Yeah, no.
You know, like, the high pitch, I'll be like,
No. I can't do that either.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, and I don't. Lil Nas X hasn't even came out with enough music for me to know whether I would really like him as an artist, right? He's only come out with an EP. So I agree with you on that one. But I have been trying, and I, like, the Chasing Dallas, the Chasing Atlanta series, right? Mm-hmm. The reason why I really love Chasing Atlanta, because you see these artists. I just love seeing queer artists, queer art, queer, just black gay people doing shit that... Where, because we know the door. We know what it is. You and I sitting here, what our obstacles look ahead of us.
Yeah.
What we've already been through. What we're going through right now. We know what it is. We know what it is. Some of them probably worked tooth and nails to get on Chasing Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And, like, on YouTube. And, like, some people might say, oh, that YouTube. They're getting thousands and thousands of subscribers and watch. You know, for someone who don't have anything... Being on a hot black queer network, you know, on YouTube, a show means a lot to them. And I think it, not just to them, I think it's a really good, it's worthy of acknowledgement and praise that they got to that point in their career. Because, you know, we praised all the other ones. We follow all the other ratchet. Everybody on Zeus.
Yeah, right.
Network, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, what's wrong with supporting the black queer ratchet?
Yeah, no, you're right. And no. I agree with you. I agree. I definitely, that is something, I'm going to need to put that on my to-do list. You know, I'm trying to, this whole planner situation that a lot of you guys are, I follow this girl on YouTube. She's like addicted to planners. Like, every YouTube video she posts and she's talking about something with her planner. I'm like, bitch, if you don't stop talking about this damn planner. But I'm trying to do it. I found a digital platform that I might be able to get with. But I don't know why I find it so hard for me just to write down, like, stuff on a daily basis, what I need to do. I don't know how I need to ease into that. But it's I don't know why it's
because
so hard.
You know why I think it's funny? Because you are such a person that's in control of your, like, every moment. Like, I don't see you really doing many things just because, like, you are a very attentional person that I know. So I couldn't imagine, like, why it would be a struggle for you to, like, actually write all your intentionalities out because you don't really do many off the, you know what I'm saying, like, unpredictable things is what I'm saying, right? So, like, it seemed like you were, you know what you're going to eat.
Yeah.
You probably know what time you're going to eat.
I do, but I guess I'm so comfortable with being in my head. Like, I guess maybe that's what I'm comfortable with being there. It's like, it's almost like, well, I don't need to put it down. Like, I already know what I'm going to do. But I'm starting to get to a point now where I'm like, but I need to. I'm feeling the energy. I'm feeling the spirit. Like, I'm going to have to start doing this kind of stuff. And I kind of have, it's this application called Trello that a lot of my entrepreneur people use. And I've been kind of working on it for, I'm going to my check-in now. That's something I'm going to. I've been kind of working on it for about two.
Well, we got
to
do our thing.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, yeah.
Well, Emerson, before you get in, you know what time it is because you are ready, girl. It is time to check in.
Okay. So, again, now. So, Trello. About Trello. Trello, I've been trying to, literally, I've been sitting in front of a computer and I'm just sitting there and I'm getting it together because it's a lot to it. Like, you can decorate it and put, like, pictures and stuff, and it's all these different cards and all this kind of stuff. And I was literally just putting, like, information about all these courses that I'm in. And it was just like, I'm like, oh my God. Like, I've been sitting there like, oh my God, I can't. Why am I doing all this? I know I already have all these. Why do I have to put this here? But once I got it done, I was like, okay, it's here. And I was actually able to set a deadline for me to complete one. So I was like, okay, maybe that's the good part. Because now I got this here. I'm like, okay, I'm going to put a due date on this one. And I was like, okay, so now I have a due date. Mm-hmm. But I'm still haven't went back to look at it. It's here now. So I'm like, but maybe it's good that I've transferred it there so I can have it here. I don't know. But I'm trying to get with this whole planner thing.
And I also think, going back to, you know, I've been on this whole preservation of Black queerness. Mm-hmm. So I think having a hard, whether digital or handwritten, kind of what I'm trying to say, not track, but a footprint of what your experiences has been, or what your, not what your experiences, but what you're planning to do.
Yeah.
Like, because 20 years from now, right?
Oh, yeah.
30 years from now, like, if that diary or that planner or that digital planner just pop up somewhere, it's you're preserving your journey.
And you should, and that's a good point too. And I guess I do. And but you, I guess, I mean, if y'all listeners know this too, you know, I'm very, like, I'm a very reminiscent person, so I can always go back, but I keep it all in my head. So it's like, I can just be like, oh yeah, I remember this, and I'll say it, but I don't put it down. But if somebody I follow on Facebook, she says that's why she likes to put moments on Facebook, because she says primarily she likes it when she's reminded of it. She's like, I love my Facebook reminders. Mm-hmm. She's like, because it always reminds me of stuff I went through. And then she posts reminders all the time. She's like, oh my gosh, this is where I was at a year ago. And I'm like, okay, I guess I can see that working. I don't think I would do that on Facebook. It's so funny how people look at, like, entrepreneurs especially look at Facebook. Like, it's, we just all dog them out, but or dog Facebook out. But anyway, yeah. So I'm trying the whole planner thing. And I literally, I'm going to work on it tonight, because I'm still not done, but I'm trying to get to a point. I think maybe I need to I'm the type of person, if I overwhelm myself, I'll just be wanting to cancel the whole thing. I just need to kind of chop it up and just maybe say, okay, it was like a course type of situation that I kind of bought where a lady explains it, because I didn't know nothing about it. So I was like, okay, well, it wasn't that expensive. So I was like, well, she really goes into detail how to set up Trello, whatever. So it was very overwhelming, because I'm like, she had a 90-day planner, a weekly planner, a daily planner. And I'm like, oh, girl, this is too much. But I need to chop it up and maybe just... I want to have it to a point where I just have stuff. I have, like, goals for the day. That's my goal. I just want to have some, maybe three things. Like, I need to get these three things done today. And that's it. So that's the goal. So that's what I'm working on. I'm trying to become that type of a planner person. I respect y'all, because I can't... I'm like, why can't I get with this? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, and it's going to be a struggle. And I think sometimes, even for me, right, the beauty of it is what that lady said on Facebook. Like, sometimes I can go to my planner to write something for the day. I end up going down memory lane, reading what I wrote for the whole year. Or, you know, because I always like to put the date. So my planner, for me, has gotten a little ghetto, because I skip days, skip weeks. But when I do, I always write the date, so I can keep up with when the last time I was in my planner. And then I got multiple planners for different things. But my favorite one, I like to put the date, and then I go back and like, oh, this was, you know. And so sometimes I just write. Sometimes I just write, you know. And sometimes I write what I need to do. And like you said, it is so easy for us to just keep it in the head. But then that's why I start writing it down. And, you know, I actually probably need to be a little bit more diligent, because it is little, because my plate is seemingly smaller now that I've, you know, kind of just pushed a lot of stuff off as the going into the later in the year. But I find little stuff like, oh, yeah, I didn't do that. Like, but it don't mean nothing major. I always remember the stuff that I have to do.
Yeah.
But it'd be the little things that you want to actually go back and do that you could probably knock out, but you just focus on the major things because they cloud in your brain. So, yeah, I love writing. It helps me to go back to things and just reflect. You know, I think that's the best part of the planner. I remember I have my planners from middle school.
Oh, wow.
I got my planner, my Earhart planner. I got my planners from high school.
Oh,
I got
my gosh,
all
so
4 years
good.
Of high school planners.
Mine is long gone.
But I used to love writing my planners and putting stickers.
Ooh, I used to hate those planners.
Oh, I loved it. I used to use all the stickers.
Oh, my gosh. I guess maybe that might be my issue with planners. I just hated them since I was in middle school. Like, you guys have to have a planner, and we used to use ours like as hall passes.
Yeah, y'all had to get it signed.
Yeah, and I'm like, ugh. And yeah. I never had shit in mind. Okay. So I guess that I started off with planners. I started off in a bad relationship with planners. So I'm really trying to do better. But what was I gonna say? I know one thing I need to start writing down for sure. I need to start writing down like shit I need when I go to the store. Cause I'm like, if I just use it for that, that'll be good. Because I always go to the store and forget the main thing I go to the store for. I'll get everything except what I went to the store for. I did it today at HEB. I was like, I need some hand soap. I bought everything except hand soap.
Oh my God.
I do that all the time. So I was like, I need to start writing stuff down or at least putting it in my Trello. I can at least make a Trello board, you know, about, you know, grocery store list or something mm-hmm. like that. I mean, or even brain dumps. It's good for brain dumps too, because I'll forget. Like now I be randomly coming with blog posts. I just randomly come with title or ideas for all kinds of shit. And I need to have some place to dump all this stuff because I will forget.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to try this Trello thing. I'm going to try it. I'm not making any promises. I'm going to try this in 2021. I'm trying, but that's my new thing.
Okay, well, I'm here for it. I'm gonna chill, call you all. Like, everything. How's Trello going? We actually use Trello at work, so that's very interesting that you gotta. I don't use it, but they keep trying to get me to do it. I'm like, okay, I can just go to Google Docs. I don't have to go to Trello.
That's what somebody. I was looking at some entrepreneur today, and that's what he said. He was like, I really just use. He said he just uses his notes. He was like, I just use my notes on my phone. He was mm-hmm. like, I don't use Trello, or he said Google Docs. He was like, notes what I use. He was like, and that's why I just jot everything down. Mm-hmm. He's like, and if I have anything, I'll take that information and move it to somewhere else if I have to. But he was like, that's where I'm like, well, maybe that's where I should have started.
I think Trello would be good for you. I think it's more like you could do boards, because I love the fact that. It's an actual, it's a board. It's essentially just a board of information. Mm-hmm. And you operate from like that. You do vision boards and stuff like that. And so I think you're a more digital visual storyteller in that regard. So I think Trello, if you were going to do it, that seemed more in line of what the kind of work that you already do versus like, a physical one or just going to notes. Like, that ain't fun enough. I don't think that would keep your attention to do it.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's because when the lady was saying it, when she described it, I was like, oh, because she was saying she was pretty much me. And she was saying like, well, you don't write stuff down. You know, you always are boggled by, you know, you buy notebooks and don't push it up. And I'm like, yeah, that's me. And she's like, well, you know, you need to do Trello. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll try Trello. So we'll see what my relationship with Trello is going to be. I'm going to work on it tonight, you know, hopefully I'll get to a point where it'll be my everyday thing. Because another thing too, like, even you'll ask me to do something, I'll forget, you know. But maybe if I get in the habit of putting it in Trello, let me put this in my Trello, and I even put a date on it and put a due date on it. I just need to get that discipline. Mm-hmm. So that's
I think it'll help. Yeah, I think it'll definitely help.
But as far as what else is going on, that's it. I'm just trying to organize my life and get stuff together.
Your favorite holiday coming up?
We all know I'm not celebrating no Thanksgiving.
I know, because I remember last year you were very strong and stern about Thanksgiving last year.
I work, and I still feel the same way, you know.
What's the word on the curve with Black Friday and all of that? Like, just like, what is the industry like? Is this going to be a bad industry, or is digital sales going to go up? Have you heard anything around?
Like,
should you not order nothing? You ain't gonna never get it because everybody gonna be ordering.
Right. Well, they said that a lot of stores was gonna try to spread it out. Like, I know Target and Walmart and stuff like that. They've been having like Walmart deal. They have ads for Black Friday, but they were saying they were trying to spread it out. But it looks to me that it's still gonna be similar kind of sort of, maybe not for stores, but like you said, digital. But a lot of people people I follow, you know, Cyber Monday seemed like to me that's what people are really like. Cyber Monday. I think a lot of people are going on. Even though you could still order online for that, but I think it probably will. It's going to probably be a lot of, because they were talking about the PS5 and they were talking about how many units is that's going to probably sell and how they're going to probably sell out of that. Like, especially if we can shut that down again. So,
I had to break it to my little nephew, like, because I had read an article. No, the news was saying that if you hadn't already ordered the PS5, don't expect to get it before Christmas.
Oh.
Like, if you could, they say they're not going to sell them in any stores, yeah, right? So it's only be online. And, you know, that's what I'm thinking, like, okay, so everybody's already shopping online. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be the first year that all the new people that was forced to start shopping online because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. How, and we already know what Amazon, you know what I'm saying? Like, Amazon have been pushed to the limit multiple times during this whole year. Mm-hmm. How is everybody going to respond to... I'm still waiting on shit. When I ordered and I some stuff from these... I ain't got my Doja Cat vinyl from May.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Right. Where is my vinyl Doja Cat, Nicki? Well, I only bought it to support Nicki to make it go number one. I still ain't got it.
Oh, my gosh.
But so that's when I'm just worried. Like, okay, because I'm thinking, okay, if I do go online... If I do decide to do Christmas shopping, I want to go online... Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking, like, everybody's going to do that.
Well,
so how are you going to get the stuff? Like,
well, maybe some people are still going to the stores. One of my YouTube girlfriends actually did a video today where she was actually in. She went to, well, she's like a Target lover like me. But she, you know, she went to the store and did her Christmas shopping. And, you know, so I guess some people still will do the stores. And, you know, I guess, I don't know the hours that they said, though. I don't.
And they're gonna let that, like, so that was my thing. So they, with this surge of COVID, they're going to, like, push people to go into, like, suggest that people actually go at 5 a.m. and start.
Well, see, I don't know if they. I'm sure I'm not about to look it up because I don't know, like, what the. Let me see.
Black, fighting in the stores. You know what I'm saying? You know how Black Friday right. get with COVID? They're going to be fighting over a 99-cent crock pot.
Seven. Okay, so BlackFriday.com. They still going to be opening up kind of early. Some places, 5 a.m. Let me see the major ones. Bath and Body Works is open up at 6. Best Buy is going to be open at 5. I don't know how they can control that crowd.
Yeah. Like, how can you do Black Friday safely?
Right. Best Buy opening at 5? Well, I think I might have just said that one. Oh, let me look at Target and Walmart. Target hasn't announced. Okay. And Walmart, they saying 5 a.m. So... Yeah, that's going to be interesting. The people going to be in line forever. Because they're going to probably only be able to allow only so many people into the store at one point in time. So, girl, fuck that. So, I guess I would probably be ordering my shit online. And then, like, a girl I follow on Instagram today, she said AT&T, she wanted to go get her a new phone. AT&T told her that she wasn't going to get her iPhone until maybe December, January, or February. And she said she told her that she said she wanted to tell her to go to hell. And she just left, and then she, you know, Apple have them. You can just go get it the next, you know, tomorrow at Apple, and that's what she did. But I'm like, is this what they're going to be telling everybody for that shit? Fuck that.
That's what I'm saying, like, because if everybody going to be, I just feel like it's going to be some shit when it comes to.
If they announce a shutdown before Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Or before Black Friday.
Yes.
It's going to be horrible. Online, it's going to be horrible.
Horrible.
Because everybody's going to be ordering all kinds of shit. Not only just for Black Friday, but just to get them through the Christmas holiday. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They're going to be ordered, like, the PS5s, all the computers. They were saying, well, that's what I was saying. It was busy the other day because Apple releasing some new Macs with some new stuff. And my manager was like, yeah, I think that these Macs are probably going to sell out. Because he was like, a lot of people are buying these, you know, just because of all the shutdown shit. So
the new Mac laptops?
And
the desktop?
No desktop. It's just the laptop. It's just the MacBook and two MacBooks, MacBook Air, MacBook Pro, and the MacBook or Mac Mini.
And what they do now?
Well, it's just a new chip.
Oh, just a new chip, so faster.
Well, it's the Apple chip, so it's supposed to. It's a lot of technical stuff, but
so it's gonna look different.
No, they'll look the same. It's just it's just inside. It's different. They're no longer. Apple has their own chip now. They don't work with Intel. They was using Intel AMD chips inside. Now they have their own. So, it's definitely a lot of stuff different with it. It's gonna be a lot of people pissed off, which I'm not looking forward to. But it's gonna be a lot of people pissed off because a lot of their stuff might not work on the Mac no more. But Windows, for example. But anyway. But anyway, yeah.
So I'm not going to be able to get on Microsoft Word?
No, you might not. If they don't, it depends. It depends. Some software, yeah. But like people who use, they got this thing called Boot Camp where you can actually run Windows on your Mac. They They've always had that. They want me to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. So a lot of, especially Asians, are not gonna like that. But and I'm not trying to be racist. I'm just Asian. A lot of them use boot camp. But anyway, anywho.
Just the way you look at. And I'm not like, girl, whoever got something to say, who listening? Okay. Okay. So, yeah, so you won't be so...
Oh, well, Thanksgiving. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, no, I'm not celebrating Thanksgiving. I'm working, and that's just what it is. But, I really didn't even think about it. I see our people, you know, some people I follow on Instagram talking about they're getting all their food and stuff, you know, the stuff I said I was not here for before. Mm-hmm. So, right. It's the same thing. So, no, I'm not celebrating, but, you know, I don't have a problem, you know, hanging out or seeing people if, you know, that's what I'm doing. But it's not for Thanksgiving. Like, I'm doing it for Thanksgiving, and I need a plate. You know, all the stuff I said before. I said what I said, and I stand by what I said. I left it in 2019. So, okay. That's it. Oh, not a big thing, but yesterday I was in the Shantae Moore Christmas album, and I thought they got rid of your song, but she changed the lineup of her songs on this album. So I was so about to text you like, oh, she just got rid of your song.
Why she changed the lineup?
I don't know why she changed it, but it's Sleigh Bells or Sleigh. I think it's Sleigh Bells or Sleigh something. Santa Claus, Santa Sleigh. I think it's something. I forget the name of the song, but anyway, you know what I'm talking about. It's your favorite song. Mm-hmm. She moved it closer to the bottom, but I thought she had got rid of it because I was this. I know the kind of the lineup is because it comes after one of my favorites, Cover Me in Snow. So, and I was like, well, what'd they do with that song? But she changed it. So, yeah, I'm already, my point of me mentioning this is I'm already kind of on Christmas. It's weird getting into Christmas a little bit. I'm not trying to say all this stuff is taken away from my spirit or my joy or anything like that. It's just, I think my mind, our minds have just been so, we've had so much that we had to think about this year just on just bullshit. It's hard for me to even get to the point of like, okay, it's Christmas time and da-da-da-da-da. I almost feel like, you know, and I'm not going to say this, I said it last time. Funny, I can't believe it's been a year because I feel like I had this conversation yesterday as far as decorations and stuff. I feel like I just had that conversation.
So are you putting up your Christmas tree?
I don't have one. And I'm probably not because I'm not going to even lie and make it seem like I am. Not now. Because if I was to do it, I would probably want, it would be a lot of money. And I just, right now I'm investing in other things, but I would want my house or my apartment to be just look like it threw up Christmas. With the bullshit that we went through this year, I would want my apartment to look like a winter wonderland because I think I deserve, all of us deserve some type of cheer. So if I can't do it the way I want to do it, I just rather not do it at all. But I think if I was to do it, I would probably spend so much money on Christmas shit. I would have shit for hanging from the ceiling. I would have all kinds of shit because I just think that we all need that kind of joy. And we need to have that, you know, especially if we're going to be on, I don't know, but if we on lockdown for Christmas and New Year's, we have to have some joy in our space. But that's all. That's my check-in.
I agree. I wanted to show you this outfit from Tiffany Haddish at the People's Choice Awards today.
What? Where did she get that from? Ross?
I don't know. But it's like, it looks like she's about to, like, body slam somebody.
I mean, I guess, but that it just look. That's not.
Mm-mm. It's not red carpet ready. No, first red of all, ready. It's November. What did you got on? Tracy looked cute. But I guess my check in. What's my check in?
That is cute.
Well, we are giving out turkeys. Well, we're not actually giving out like cook. You know, everything with Corona going on with our organization, we trying to figure out ways to, you know, do what we do, but do it safely. So we're actually joining Capital View Arts and giving out turkeys, but food, Thanksgiving giveaway, meal giveaways.
Okay.
But it's going to be like drive-through style. We can't do any prepared food because of Corona. So we'll be giving out like, you know, raw turkeys and vegetables and canned stuff and whatever. I don't know all that we're giving out, but I just found that interesting. Like, we can't even give out turkeys the same anymore. Mm-mm. Ain't no hot meals where you can stand behind a thing and just feed a bunch of people and stuff like that. It's just not safe, right?
Yeah.
So that's interesting. So, yeah, I talked about it on the last episode when I went to a friend's feast or whatever. And I said everybody, because I had been telling people since then that, oh, yeah, I already, you know, have some Thanksgiving food. Everybody really wanted to know why that Thanksgiving dinner was so so early. But I didn't really elaborate. Like, you know, one thing, I mean, it's kind of talking about what you were saying around, like, what we need because of this year. And so I hadn't really seen them. I think the last time we was all together was your birthday around that time. We had the Black Queer Meetup, right?
Yeah.
That was the last time we were all together. Mm-hmm. And it just, you know, I've always been a big, huge fan of Friendsgiving. So that I've always loved that. Because, you know, a lot of us, we didn't have, you know, Thanksgiving wasn't, we talked about this on the podcast, Thanksgiving was not the place you wanted to be with family, right? Like, we had our chosen family.
Right.
And Friendsgiving was the same way. So when I was all with them and I was just looking, you know, we first, you know, you come in, you got to kind of keep your distance, have your mask. And even within that, you know, there was just a small amount of us, no more than 10, it was just so beautiful. Like, I just love the holiday season. Now, I started this episode off with holiday. You know, I love it. Love it, love it. And just to experience that first kickoff.
Yeah.
Which I needed, right? Like, yeah, we was all just having food and just drinking and just really talking about this year, like you said. And, you know, and of course, I'm like 1,000% with you with the whole getting rid of Thanksgiving and really what...
Well, no, but this year, I think it has a totally different thing as far as coming together. Like, fuck what anything else. I think just being around people that you love, and some people are not going to still be able to do that.
Yeah, because you can't. They would not recommend it that you go over friend's house and stuff. Kristen was saying that she's going to be, like, waving at her friend. I think he was on the phone waving. You know, she's going to do Thanksgiving at her house, you know, without the rest of her family, which they usually get together every year.
Right.
So you can't do the mass. So it's, you know, this is, you know, I think we're at a very critical point as people to actually experience the holiday season during a pandemic. And, you know, just to think about what the holiday season is for a lot of people, period.
Mm-hmm. With COVID and all this bullshit on top of it.
Oh, my God, right? Ugh. We are needing prayer warriors, positive woo-woo energies all over the fucking place, you know, because we already, that's what I'm saying, like, that Friendsgiving already reminded me of what I don't have. Like, I can't just see people and hang out without, you know, and we talked about it so much on this podcast, but it just to go into the season, they're just thinking about, like, my little nephew, about he want Christmas and he want the PlayStation. Like, you know, that might be a thing. You really might not get that for Christmas. And if nothing, the way it's set up right now, what's going on in the world, you might not get it. You know, you can't go around what's happening. No, like, they're true. Not selling it in the stores.
Right. Yeah. But at least one thing I will, and I keep giving y'all props for this, at least y'all came together this year. Y'all family kind of came together or kind of organically this year. So y'all will just be together. Like,
automatically.
Y'all automatically be together because so many people just won't be that. Mm-hmm. It is going to be a lot. For certain people who's not going to be able to handle it. And then, you know, being some people being forced and told that they can't go see, you know, I can't go see my family because they're telling me I can't go see my family.
Your grandmothers.
Grandparents.
There's the times when you go see your grandparents. And older people in your life.
Yeah, definitely.
You can, right? Like, I would not want to go around anybody, you know, because I know that I could be a liability. Mm-hmm. You know, and that is just crazy, right? That's like, oh my God. So I think we were really about to go through a test. And like I said, for Black people, we just been through so much. It's like, so I think we should really turn this Thanksgiving into like a spiritual healing, like worldwide summit. Like everybody open their windows and put sage and like whatever, just woo woo to the 20th power, just so we can get through. You know, but I agree with you. It is time to throw up Christmas. Like Christmas is gonna be. I'm gonna have Christmas lights in my car. I'm gonna have a bow on the damn dashboard, bitch.
But you know what? So many of my YouTube girlfriends have already they been put their tree up, and not some of them don't. Some of them normally wait, but some of them like, I'm not waiting. I'm not waiting this year. I'm putting my tree up November 1st. Like, I'm not about to wait for shit. They are ready.
It's that joy that comes along with it that we just need a bunch of. So. Yeah, I think my mom is waiting. I don't know what she's waiting on, but I was thinking of today when I was, I need to put up at least some lights in my room, you know, get my room ready for the season. But this is my favorite time of the year. So I just hope that we don't get any more, like, huge bad news, any more blows to us, you know, it just in general, you know.
Yeah.
So what else been going on? So that was that. I want to yeah, I don't know what else. Right, just holiday. It's a holiday. I got hoes on hoes, and they out of control. Like, hey. What, Emma, what are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking about New Year's, too. Because I don't know why people are thinking about...
New Year's, that's going to be so sad.
That is going to be sad. But, I mean, I'm not trying to be I want to keep positive about it, but I'm just like, I think, I don't know why, I could be very wrong, because I was wrong about the presidency, so I don't know, I just keep thinking, like, they're going to try to take, you know, they're going to try to shut down New Year's, and, you know, us just all going into the New Year, like, shut down and not being able to do, you know what I mean, and not... It's not a big deal for messing me, because my thing is I can handle stuff like that. Normally, my job cock blocks everything, so it was definitely going to cock block everything for me this year. So I'm just going through it as regular bullshit that I have to go through in this season of my life. But people who don't, who normally are have the freedom to go and move and all that kind of stuff and not be able to do it, you know, I know people who have boyfriends overseas and stuff like this, and I'm like, well, how's that going to work, you know?
Emerson, can you imagine that we're about to go into 2021 as 2020? Like, the same year. Like, if we go into 2021.
Oh, you mean still shut down? Like,
still shut down, yeah. And, like, everything. Like, girl, this is a very to be continued. Like, girl, I would be very curious as to see what those December 31st posts go be. You know, people like, well, next year.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I'm leaving 2020 behind.
No.
Unfortunately, some of them things is going right into 2021.
That's true. I mean, but it's 2020 actually is different for everybody, because everybody's experience in 2020, regardless of, like, I think I heard somebody say today, like, it was a lot of ups and downs, but it was a lot of good. It was a lot of bad, but it was a lot of good for some people. A lot of people, yeah. Especially entrepreneurs, especially these Black women out here, honey, they've been out here getting it. And I'm like, bitch, I'm here for it. And so for some of them, it's their best year in business ever. You know what I'm saying? So they have these milestones that they hit, but then you have the bullshit on the side. So it is going to be, but then for some people, it's just been all the way horrible. So it's like, and I don't think about that sometimes, like what it is for certain, like, different people. Like, I'm not saying I don't think about people, but it's like, you know, I just kind of move in my life and just take stuff for what it is and just keep on pushing. But some people, I know that's not what every, you know, some people are really having a hard time. And going through the holidays, they definitely are. So,
yeah, but I guess if we keep it like, but that also could be a positive, right? The positive is that we survived 2020.
Yeah.
And that I'm going into 2021. So that's an even more celebratory mindset absolutely. To have. Like, bitch, 2020 was bitch, dagger after dagger. And I'm like, bitch, I'm here.
Okay.
Like, what's up? You know, so I guess I could look at it like that. And, you know, and that you are true. It's a lot of, even for me, like 2020 has not, it's been emotionally draining. But a lot of things that I haven't even expressed on this podcast has happened, you know, for me in 2020. Mm-hmm. I can't say 2020 has been, you know, like you said, but you got to kind of get out of your bubble. That's what I had to learn. Because if I stayed in my bubble, I might be looking at the world way different. Like, oh, my God, this is happening. I'm here. Myself. And oh my God, I've still got a job. I'm still making money. Oh, I don't, like, things ain't, you know, like you say, even with the family and the house and just everything, 2020 was a different year. It could have been, if I look at it with a positive perspective, it was a great year.
Yeah.
If I looked at it at the reality of the emotional and social burden that it caused, it was, you know, a difficult year. And also when I just look at the bullshit that so many people that I might not ever meet but love because they are a part of me in some way, being Black and queer or whatever, and knowing what they've been through. That's why, you know what I'm saying? So it's more the idea of what humanity is for me. But I agree with you. But I'm going to be more, that's why I'm ready for this holiday season, because I'm going to be celebratory that I have health and everybody in my family has good health so far that I know of.
Yeah.
And just pray and be thankful for that, right?
And I hope that a lot of people do that. And there's a post going around that this lady was saying that. She was like, before I was kind of, I never said anything, but I guess, you know, the whole thing where people were saying, if you don't come out of 2020 with the business, you're not doing the right thing. And mm-hmm. I was just like, a lot of people didn't like it. I didn't necessarily think it was the worst thing in the world, but now I will, I still don't think it's the worst thing in the world, mm-hmm. but, I've done things this year and still plan on doing things to, I consider myself to be a caterpillar mm-hmm. this year. That's just, I'm a caterpillar and I'll be a caterpillar a little while longer into 2021 and until I come out a butterfly. So that's how I see it. But for people that, the post, going back to my point, the post was saying pretty much, like we just said, if you, are just survive 2020 and you just going into 2020 alive, that is something to be commended. Yeah. That's commendable and just something to celebrate. That's something that a big accomplishment mm-hmm. in itself. And it is.
It is.
If you go with a sane mind, you know what I'm saying? You got your health. Yeah, you got food on the table. You have your health. That is worth celebration itself. You didn't have to do anything else but that. I say then. I hope that people celebrate that mm-hmm. because this year could have. I mean, seeing the stuff that I've seen stuff this year that I've never seen in my life. Mm-hmm. Just in my face. You know what I'm saying? I never saw somebody just get murdered. And on my face. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just literally seeing somebody just get murdered, seeing the life being taken from them. I never seen that just like that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's a lot on top of all the other bullshit we dealt with. Mm-hmm. So to be able to go through that and still, survive and thrive the best you can, yeah. I just hope that people see it that way. I know that might be hard, especially when you can't be around your loved ones, but Black people are creative. No shade to nobody else.
We are. Special, baby.
Yeah,
we know how to make shit work.
Right, so it's going to be some stuff happening. Okay. I don't know what's going to happen. I know it's this lawyer that I follow, and she's having a digital Christmas party. And I was like, oh, girl, we always figured out something. Mm-hmm. She's like, everybody's coming. You can come to our digital Christmas party. And then I'm like, okay, here we come with the creative ideas, girl.
Yes.
Let's bring it.
It's not real thing. And speaking of, I just finished that. I told you about it already, but that Django musical mm-hmm. on Netflix, it was really cute. And so I recommend. I think it's called Django something, Christmas Django. It's really cute. Forest Whitaker did his damn thing. Aniki Noni Rose, Felicia Rashad. I enjoyed it. So I recommend it to anybody looking for Christmas. I've been watching all Christmas movies, even the white ones, the Hallmark Christmas.
A lot of people have. People are ready.
The people are ready. You know, I'm Holly Robinson Pete. I will be checking out your flicks. You know, girl, you've been on this Christmas campaign or whatever. So, Emerson, what was the topic about today? It was something about today.
Today's topic is about the privilege of being a dreamer. And I guess I have to explain that. I was watching another it was a vodcast because it's a podcast, but they do it on YouTube. And it was three couples. And each couple, there was a dreamer and a non-dreamer, which was so funny because it was so funny to see. And it was the difference. It was two of the non-dreamers were men and was one woman. And then the dreamers, it was one man and two women. So they were all talking about their dreams and aspirations and how they is being in a relationship with a dreamer and all this kind of stuff and how optimistic dreamers are and how they just, they have all these big ideas and they always want to do stuff way big and they go for it and they put they all into it and they don't think about the risk and all that kind of stuff. And how they be trying to encourage their partners. Like, mm-hmm. they all be like, you're doing this, you're doing that, and da-da-da-da. And and all the non-dreamers resist that. Like, they all literally, they be trying to, pour into them and speak, that into them. And mm-hmm. they're just like, no, that's not, And one of the guys was saying how that dreamers really don't understand how blessed we are. Because everybody doesn't dream. Everybody doesn't aspire to be something. He said when he was younger, he never thought about anything big that he wanted to do. And then one of the woman non-dreamer was like, yeah, she was like, when I was younger, I never had something I said I wanted to do. I never had something I said, I'm going to do this when I get older. I never had that. And my mouth dropped through the floor because I was just like, I never thought about that. I guess I've always been a dreamer. Mm-hmm. And then I just, Tariq definitely is a dreamer. So I talk to somebody all the time who is a dreamer, but I never, I guess I don't be around non-dreamers often, especially being on then my social media. I follow a whole bunch of entrepreneurs, nothing but dreamers. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I see this all the time. So when I see somebody who says they're not, I'm like, what? You don't have nothing you want to do? But I think when he said that, I was like, wow, it is, being a dreamer is something that I take for granted, because I just feel like everybody dreams, everybody aspires, everybody wants big, everybody wants something more than what's in front of them. But some people don't.
That, you know, and I guess that the question is, like, is getting a promotion at your 9-to-5, maybe you work at the state at customer service, get a promotion, is that a dream?
It can be.
I mean, I guess, because that's what I always wonder, because I feel like we do, as a dreamer, I think we... It is something to be said that we're always, we think big. And I think thinking big, the hope is to get a big return, you know. But I also, when I was just listening to you saying that, it reminded me of that, at least for me, right? When I just asked you that question about just a promotion at work, is that considered a dream? Because I wonder if we minimize the small things that people do dream about, as to, you know, like when they say they never dream or they call themselves non-dreamers, what does that technically mean? And that's what I know. Yeah. It's not an answer to that. Like, we get it. Like, they just not, because we know what it means to be a dreamer. We can classify that very easily. Like, people who have these big dreams and aspirations, these go-getters, these things that I'm gonna teach you. You know, we see it all day long on social media, right? Yeah. It's really hard to not know what a dreamer looks like. But, you know, as I was listening to you, I'm like more interested in what it is to be a non-dreamer. Like, is it self-inflicted? Is it lack of access? Is it just, like you saying, because you were talking about your environment, right? Like, you got people in your life that you surround. And we always talk about this. Like, you surround yourself. That's what I'm saying. So when you are a non-dreamer, is it because you surrounded yourself with people, but then they married to a dreamer? So that's what I'm saying. So I'm interested in the non-dreamer, because, like, say they just work regular jobs and they said, hey, they worked hard to get a promotion. Would they still consider themselves a non-dreamer just because their partner maybe is trying to open up their own business? Like, are those comparable dreams?
I think they all do that. Speaking of them in particular, because I know Melissa, the girl, that woman, she used to work a 9-to-5. She just quit her job a couple of years ago. She quit her job. But she felt like she was kind of forced because of her dreamer husband. Her dreamer husband was like, you know, I got you, you know, we're going to do this. And you're going to do this. And, you know, she's like, you know, she wanted that stability. Like, no, I want that steady check. Okay. I don't know. I'm not about to go quit my job and I ain't got no check coming in.
Oh.
Yeah. So, you know, she was like, no, I wanted that. I you know, yeah, he could take care of me. But she was like, but I don't want to not contribute. Mm-hmm. She was like, I need to have a job. So, but she would get a job. What he was saying was, she would get a job and she would, you know, move up the corporate ladder. She wouldn't just stay, you know, but I don't think she saw that as a dream. She just saw that as, you getting a job, you move, you know, that's just what you do. You move up. You don't stay at the same level. I'm going to elevate because I need to make more money. I think that's kind of how she looked at it. Mm-hmm. Not like, I'm accomplishing something. I'm accomplishing a dream. I'm becoming a manager.
Right.
That ain't how she looked at it.
And that's what I'm like curious, because like you really just broke it down, right? Like, she looked at it. I want to say, is it self-inflicted? Because what makes someone become or think of themselves as a non-dreamer?
Yeah.
Because it's every little thing that some people save up to buy a car, right? Like that, you know, and again, I think in context of what we're talking about, we know the difference, right? Because we know what a dreamer, what we classify as a dreamer. But like if a person who working at McDonald's, knowing they don't make enough to maybe get a car as fast as somebody else who make more, but they dream of a certain car that they want. And they actually worked hard and got it.
Yeah.
And not for nothing but the car. Not to be this big person, not to own franchise McDonald's, but just to maybe just get the car that they always wanted.
But Speaking of, I'm going to probably talk about Melissa the most, because Melissa is almost a case study for me. Like, okay. Sometimes I wonder if Melissa is my, like, customer avatar. She's kind of starting to make me want to be, like my avatar for what I do as far as style coaching. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm starting to think that she might be it, because she says a lot. I listen, she says a lot of things. And I'm just like, huh. Like, but I think with her, it's a, I want to say it's a confidence issue. Mm. And I think she's working through that, like, publicly. Like, that's why I listened to their podcast, like, her. She has one called The Love Hour. And I just listen to stuff she says, because she's working through a lot of, I think, like, confidence issues. It's like, with a lot of stuff. I mean, sex, all kinds of stuff. She's just working through a lot of things. She grew up in a, I shouldn't even say that. I'm not trying to say this is a fault of the church. Mm-hmm. She grew up in the church. And, she just always wanted to be this, like, this good girl. And I think she just had so many things being put in her head and I'm not saying by the church. I just think maybe she just had so much stuff put in her head about just being, you know, a righteous Christian woman that, you know, lived by the Bible. And, you know, she wanted to do that. And I think maybe she just didn't, I don't know. She just didn't have, she grew up in a military family. So she always moved around. And I think it's just with her, it's a confidence issue. I just think it's, she doesn't think enough of herself to think outside or think big. Cause now it's this big thing that she's like an influencer now. And like, that was like a big thing for her. Like when she saw her pictures from her influence pictures, she cried. And she was like, I just can't believe that that's me. I'm that person, you know? So I think it's a confidence issue with her. I don't know about the men.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the men, okay. Chance. I don't know if you know Tabitha Brown. I don't know if you might know Tabitha Brown. Tabitha Brown, she's a vegan girl, but she's like, she's very like popular on TikTok, and she's popular. Yeah, if y'all know Tabitha, her husband.
Okay.
With him, I think it's a different issue. Like, I think Tabitha's dream might have took over his, and I hate to say that. Not saying that she did it intentionally, but it's like, she just, I think she thought bigger than him. Like, he kind of, because he wanted to, before they moved to California, he was building the studio in their house or whatever like that. And he, because he likes to do music, and he was building a studio, and he was saving up for it and stuff like that. That was his dream.
Mm.
But then when Tabitha start getting big, and she like, we got to go. I got to go to L.A. That kind of crushed his dream. And she acknowledges it. She the one who actually said this. She was like, so when that happened, she was like, he went back to a childlike state, and it was kind of like, okay, well, since I can't have that, he felt like it was something that was taken away from him. So we were just talking about the thing, the last episode, you know, vulnerability and stuff like that. And that was something that he was, you know, it was almost like he was heartbroken, because it was something he was building and put, you know, he had actually aspired to do, and he couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. So it's like, he didn't want to go back to that place. He didn't want to feel like that. So he just settled for his job. So I think that's his issue. She's having to try to build him back up to wanting to do that again, because her dream kind of overpowered his.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? Just going back to like what you were saying about the dreamers not realizing the privilege of what it is, because I'd be like, I just, for me, right? Like, at the end of the day, in most cases, all I have is my dreams. Mm. You know, in most cases, right? Like, if the things that I want to do is not written on the wall. You know, and I've never felt that. I've never felt that anything was going to be given or was owed to me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Coming up, I just think about like even graduating Bowling Green, right? I literally just graduated and moved across the country to be with a boy and did not have any plan. Like, did not set myself up for, you know, a path. But you know what I'm saying? Like a certain path to get certain things. Mm-hmm. And really didn't know what it was. Really didn't know. Like, I had dreams growing up as a kid. Like, I've always been a dreamer. Mm-hmm. I used to walk. I remember walking home from school in the snow dreaming. And I think I talked about this on the podcast. Writing and dreaming and just always, just my mind has always worked like that. I've always been in another world. You know, here and been in my surrounding and stuff like that. But I had to dream to not succumb to my neighborhood or succumb to my family dynamics or succumb to being, you know, poor or, you know, succumb to not, I graduated, but not setting myself up the best way I could have. I could not live, I couldn't just be okay with whether it was a fault of my own or my environment with stuff that I did not. Like, if I would have just fell victim continuously, we all fall victim to decisions that we make and we sometimes regret or whatever. But then you have to learn, like, nothing is, you can't really have regrets, right? That's a dreamer, right? The dream, that's that privilege. That's what I'm saying. So I'm really going down this privilege, right? Because that's what kept me believing, right? Yeah. Like, because if I just ever stopped dreaming, I would have believed what was going on in my life, or I would have believed where I was at. You know, I would have believed. I just think about even the HIV coming out about my status, right? Like, I still have dreams and hopes for doing that, right? Mm-hmm. But I could have just believe the situation that I'm just going to be another black gay man living with HIV.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the dream, right? And so I think so that's where that privilege come in, right? Because your actuality, or what's your reality rather, is always going to be different than what your dream. Like, your dream has to be better than your reality. Is not really a dream. And so,
okay,
and with that, you always, so I can be in a place, so the privilege come in, I can be in a situation and rely on my dreams, where most people is being kind of boggled down about what situation they in because they don't have nowhere else to go. I never have to stay there. And it could be the reality. I could be, like we talk about work with you. You know, you can work somewhere and that could be your reality. But your dream is what gets you up every day and gets you through the job and gets you through working 8 hours, then going online and spending another 8 hours to do your dream. Like, yes, I think it is a privilege that sometimes we don't recognize. And since we're on this topic, I have to always give shout out to Raina Campbell and Dreams and Drive, because I mean, that show opened my eyes to how you have to lean into your dream. You have to, the dream has to be the tunnel vision. It has to be. And I think that does separate people sometimes, because the way people look at stuff, it really do, because, you know, people can be in the same situation and look at it totally differently, because
that's true.
Those dreams, they don't have it, because without it, then what are you looking? You're looking around. You're looking at what's going on in your life.
That's so true.
You're looking at the state that you're currently in and not focused on the state that you've already created for yourself in your dream.
Yeah, that's, ooh, that's so deep. I think for me, that's why, for me, what has always, with the start of my dreaming, to be honest with you, and I think that's why I always have this love, love affair with music. Music was my dream. Like, that's how, you know, and I thank God for, like, my aunt for just bringing music to me and then, you know, giving me certain tapes, giving me Michael Jackson, and I'm seeing Michael Jackson, and I just go down this rabbit hole because that's what kept me in my head. Like you said, that I, you know, I grew up in the inner city of Detroit. I grew up in the hood off Dre Road. You know what I'm saying? I didn't come from privilege, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't rich. I didn't grow up with a silver spoon in my mouth. I had crackheaded neighbors. You know what I'm saying? I would go over friends' houses and see how they was living. I knew I was a part of that ecosystem. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't feel like I was above, but dreams is what got me through it. And music, I was thinking about it today. The Motown 25, that was like, I watched that more than 1,000 times. And that was my introduction to Diana Ross. And that's why I think I always, I represent Diana the way I do, because I found out that she was from Detroit and she was from the projects. And I'm like, she from the projects?
Okay, Diana Ross.
Right, Diana Ross, but the way she owned the Motown 25, like, I mean, if y'all can go back and watch it, Diana Ross was that bitch of Motown 25, and she made it known that she was. Like, she came out in the end, you know, with her infamous wig, she had a fur, like, I mean, and I'm like, she from Detroit, you know what I'm saying? Like, so stuff like that, just, that's what kept me always, and then me being into their lives and how they lived, and, you know, even not necessarily not wanting to be an artist, I just knew that there was more, and there was bigger, there was more out there, than, so I think that's why I always pushed for more, and I hate I think, oh, I'm going to say this. Well, I just say certain things. Well, no, I'm going to be honest. I think I let people get in my ear when I was younger. And I sometimes be like, damn, I wish I just would have kept on with the energy that I had from when I was, that same energy. I just would have pushed and put through myself out mm-hmm. there into what I wanted to, because I tried to so many times with all kinds of stuff. Like, you know, those little, I don't know if you know, those little talent agencies, that those little cheap-ass talent agencies they used to have and stuff like that. I would do stuff like that because I knew that was maybe a possible way out.
Mm-hmm.
And then, too, my the closest thing to father I ever had before he passed away, he would say stuff like, you know, we got to start getting you commercials and stuff like that. And I never knew why he said that. I'm like, why do I need to be in commercials? Mm-hmm. You know, but he just, I don't know. He saw something. So I wish I just would have kept that drive, because I think I let my surroundings and people around me discourage me. Mm-hmm. And it took for me to have my Saturn's return. My Saturn's return. That's when it was like, oh, I 26, 27. I got to, I was like, oh, fuck this. This is not my life. Okay. Like, this is not the life that it was like I had to come to Jesus. I was like, wait. Mm-mm. I ain't supposed to live like this, especially, you know. And then too, Kimberly Denise Jones, Lil' Kim, I was like, oh, hell no. I'm way off base. Like, mm-hmm. I'm nowhere near where I need to be. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So I was like, that's where I was like, I gotta move. I gotta get out of here. I gotta get away from my surroundings. I gotta, you know. So I thank God for that. You know, I thank God for Tariq moving to Austin, because it was like, once he got here, he came to Austin. Not saying I moved here just for him, but once I came visit him, I'm like, oh, wait. Okay. I can do this.
Okay, right.
I literally moved in 6 months.
Mm-hmm. You did.
So, I mean.
But that's, again, the part of that dream. Like, yeah. You knew, like, girl, I'm not, like, because you hear, I mean, you hear selling people like, I wish I could move. Mm-hmm. I've been wanting to move. And move. But that is how they look at things.
Yeah.
And again, and that could be a lot of different influences, right? Because I'm not saying, because that's why I said I'm really curious about the non-dreamer. And based on what you even said, that she's become like the Megan girl, is like your prototype of your client, because the interest in the non-dreamer, because it's like, well, what, because like you said, like you were talking about confidence and stuff, like, you know, it has to be something mm-hmm. that they've been deprived of, or when they were vulnerable, mm-hmm. like the vulnerability that you said, when a broken heart is a bitch.
Yeah.
A broken heart. And it don't even have to be, like you said, about romantic, like something that you really wanted mm-hmm. and loved, or a dream that you had.
Yeah.
Like, cause so a dream can be deferred, right?
Absolutely.
So let's be clear about that. Like, dreamers, they get hurt the worst.
They do.
Because it's vulnerability in dreaming.
Yeah.
It is vulnerability. Mm-hmm. It is, oh my God, like, my God, to think that you can do something that the world tells you you cannot.
Mm-hmm.
Or your surroundings, your environment, your mama, daddy, little cousin, your cousin calling you to get, oh, you ain't, or the little, Tony from Detroit on the gate said, you ain't never getting out of Detroit. You ain't going to college and all of those things. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember that day verbatim. I was going up Kevin Stairs mm-hmm. from the basement.
Yes, and I remember that
man
too.
Told me that basically I wasn't going to be shit.
Yeah.
He told me, you know what I'm saying? He meant it.
Mm-hmm.
He meant it. And so that was always an aspiration to not be what he said,
mm-hmm.
not to be in that basement with the rest of them niggas.
Ooh.
And but you get what I'm saying? But again, everybody that could have sent, you know, it took work for me, not just work, like, you know, that was a blow. That was hard to swallow, that someone would say that to you.
Mm-hmm.
And especially someone like, you know, I would say one thing about me, and I heard my mom like kind of telling Will a little bit about like my path in education. Like, I've always used education as a dream. Like, I always had to be the best. You know, I was in fifth grade, sixth grade splits. I was trying to get all A's, trying to go over to King, trying to do this, speak all these different languages.
You're very competitive.
Do all of these things, like education.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the competitive drive and the dream is always there, but I realized, before, it was always within education. I felt like education was it, but then I realized that wasn't me.
Gotcha.
Like, I didn't want to be in school forever to talk about life. I wanted to live it.
Yeah.
I wanted the same energy. I had the same go-getter, but it wasn't going to be sitting in the classroom, listen to professors talk to... I mean, I just was not interested in that, but I thought I was, you know?
Yeah.
That was my course. Like, that was... But I felt like once I accomplished that, I really wasn't doing that for myself, right? That was just what I was told was going to get me out. Mm-hmm. And that's why I did it, right? Yeah. And, you know, and it helped. It worked. Yeah. It, you know, I'm still, like, regardless, like, any job that I have now... Yeah, and my mom told me, like, all my jobs, I have to have a degree. But some people don't, I don't talk about education. Like, education doesn't matter to me anymore. Yeah. You know, I feel like the work, you know, my you know, trajectory has changed. But I'm, you know, but I am in a relationship with someone who is a scholar in education, everything. So I realized that those are just two different paths, right? You know, but the dream, you know what I'm saying? That is a path that does work, you know,
and no, it can
make your dreams that's a dream in itself.
Yeah.
And so, but I just realized that how your dreams can, your paths can change, right? You can accomplish one thing and then figure it out another way. It doesn't have to be the same road. And I think that's a privilege, right? Because it's within you. So it's not, you could be a dreamer about everything. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, like artist, I just think about like my mama, right? She always amazed me, like the stuff that she'd be wanting to do. I'd be like, you know, you really about to make all these things for Halloween? You know, I'm just, it just be like, really? And she'd be like, yes. And I'd be like, you're not, I don't never say she ain't gonna do it. I think about like, she ain't gonna, and you look up, it's done. You know, and I just think it's, so I guess my question for you, just to go back to the non-dreamers, how, is it something that, is that okay to be a non-dreamer?
Like, I mean, I think it goes back to what you were saying. It just depends on what you consider to be your dream. Just because you don't have a you want to take over the world type dream, or you don't, you know, you want to make $1 billion, that doesn't, just because your dream is not that, does not mean that you aspiring for something is not a dream. So if you do want to just be a manager at Target, that is a dream. You always want to be a manager at Target. You can't let somebody else minimize that. That's your dream.
Because you get money.
Yeah.
Live a good life.
Yeah. That's what you want. Yeah. If you're comfortable with that, then you have to be comfortable with that. And I think that, I think influence from other people, or not people not actually, like, I was thinking about, I think influence from others can really fuck you up with that too. Rather, because it can help, it make you minimize things that you think are a dream, and it can, make you stall, or what I want to say, it can stunt your, not growth, but what am I trying to say? It just make you not want to, it kind of just suppress. It'll suppress whatever it is that you're trying to do. And another thing too, with dreamers or people, is what kind of what I said with Chance, is I think when you're a kid, sometimes your parents can not sewing or sewing into the things that you say you want to be a dream. That definitely would happen with me. They don't see it as something that's good, or that doesn't seem good to them, or doesn't seem like it's enough, because it's not maybe the path of like what you did. It's not an educational, you're not going to get an education. You're not going to be able to make any money doing that. You know what I'm saying? And you're like, no, this is what it is. That's what I was talking about. You're trying to do the same thing as me. No, I'm not trying to do the same thing as you. I'm not trying, no shade. Like, I at a certain point, I'm like, I did that. Like, you work in retail. I work in retail. I'm telling you, I'm still trying to... I'm doing what you're doing. Like, no, so clearly I'm going towards something else if I'm, but she didn't see it that way. And I think I let that kind of stuff discourage me, or even, again, I just think you have to, if, I think that is the problem with a lot of people, is that they grow up to be these big kids whose dream was suppressed because somebody didn't support them in what they wanted to do.
Yeah, and you know, and to be honest with you, I experienced that too with my mom, right? Like, because, you know, I was, you know, while I did theater, like in middle school and high school, my mom and Gigi Flata told me, you're not getting no degree in theater. You was not wasting your time getting no degree in theater. And just think about it, if I would have been sold upon or loved on about being a theater major, because that was what I really wanted to do. And look, and they, even with they doubt and me not even getting my degree, I literally changed because I had a theater minor or whatever. Double major, didn't went to a minor, then I just completely let it go because I didn't really have that community behind me. And then I faced like racism at Bowling Green and being a black, they want to give me the black parts and, you know, and so like, again, we talk about environment and we talk about influences, like you, like my mom and my grandmother did not support me.
Yeah.
Taking on theater, but think about if I would have stayed on that trajectory in theater and really studied the craft and kept on going and went to auditions right out of school and moved to New York still been doing theater and theater come because I'm still doing that stuff. Yeah. Like I could have literally did that role and still could have been doing theater for the press, still doing art for people with mental health issues. It still could be, I could still be doing now. Or even more, bigger, right? Different, differently, but bigger in a way that might, what I might consider bigger, right? Again, it's subjective, you know? But so I've experienced that, and that shit is real, right? Not having that. And then another point that you made too, like, for example, like people trying to minimize, like someone, like I met people who, like before I worked at Walmart, I didn't understand the politics of Walmart, right? Mm-hmm. It's its own world. And I get there and I met people who really dreamed about being Walmart managers, right? But they were making $100,000 a year. You tell somebody on the street who don't know what Walmart managers making, they make it seem like, oh, you want to be a Walmart manager, da da da. You get power, meaning you get to to control 300 to 400 people's lives, you basically running this whole community of people, of like not just the people who worked up, their family, you the manager, and you getting 100, and then they be getting bonuses. Sometimes those Walmart managers making $200,000+ a year, and you over here trying to downplay that because that's a lot of money.
Yeah,
that is. People are getting paid being Walmart, but people don't know that. But like, but we would say that, well, that's not a good dream to have.
Yeah.
That's false.
No, it is.
They could be making more money than you. Some of these people, me dreaming to be on Broadway getting $15 an hour. Like, everybody on Broadway ain't making, you know what I'm saying? Like, dreams are so subjective, you know, because it ain't, it don't always add up. You know what I'm saying? No. You can have dreams that make you poor and you might think, oh, that looks pretty on the outside. It could be dreams that don't look as pretty, like being a Walmart manager. That bitch, they got 4 or 5 houses.
Yeah.
I know those, I'm telling you, I mean, those white people were living in like legacy money because their father or they wife is the store manager. So they both bringing in.
Yeah.
They getting money. But you tell a black person, you know, but then you're going to frown upon somebody who maybe didn't go to school and they stayed in retail and they can handle it. Cause you gotta be able to handle it. Yeah. Some people who can do it.
Yeah.
Work their way up.
Yeah.
And that could be a very lucrative dream to run a Walmart.
Yeah.
Egos and all that. You can feel like you're the man on the campus.
That's true. If you can, if you can handle it.
If you can handle it.
If you can handle it, then right. So I think people do minimize what, because it's not, you know, even like what you were saying with education, you know, or people saying, you know, that's not a job that, you know, you're not going to go to school for that because there's nothing going to happen. You're not going to make no money. That happens to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. A girl I just started following on yesterday, literally. She's a lawyer. And I literally just read her story yesterday. She just randomly posted some of her stories. And she was just talking about, she just bought a Mercedes, a brand new Mercedes. And she kind of went through her story. And she was like, she was like, I pretty much became a lawyer because I was told that I should become a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And I became a lawyer. And I've been a lawyer since I graduated from college at like 24. And I'm just now getting a brand new Mercedes. She was like, so people tell you go to school for these certain things. Mm-hmm. And I went to school to become a lawyer. And I never had a brand new car. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It took me to become an influencer for me to be able to afford to get me a Mercedes. Something totally different from what I went to school for. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just was like, wow. You know, she was like, you know, even though, she was like, I'm 33. And, you know, some people, you know, she was like, for some people, they might feel like, she said, for some people, I'm late. She was like, you know, some people are like, oh, you're just not getting your car, you know, but then some people, they're like, oh, wow, you know, you're just getting started. So it's really all about perspective and all kinds of things. But I follow so many people like that. Another one of my influencers I follow, she's a physical therapist that got fired. And now she is about to make $500,000. By the end of this year, she said she's about to make $500,000 as an influencer. You know what I'm saying? Like, she says, I'm always going to, you know, keep getting, going to get my certifications and stuff like that. But she was like, you know, that's just, clearly that wasn't the path I was supposed to go down. So I just think about so many people who do stuff like that and think about the kids who's coming up behind that sees that. I want to be an influencer. You ain't about to be no influencer.
Right.
You're going to go to school or you're going to become a doctor. You know, or you're going to go
But look at the doctors becoming influencers. Right. So look at the doctor that played the piano that's been all over the internet. The black doctor that can sing.
Yeah.
Been all over the internet, you know. No, the internet changed the game. But, I mean, but it opened up the idea of being able to dream, right?
That's,
And one is taken away from this path down this academic road that that's the only way that you have to be a doctor. And now, mind you, we still need more black people to dream like
we
that.
We do. We do.
We need, because we do not have enough doctors. Black doctors. We don't have enough black lawyers. We don't have enough black politicians. We don't have... But again, those are all dreams, too. Not for, but again, it kind of goes back to that perspective, you say, because some people was born into that life.
Yeah.
They, you know, that they was... like they, I might say they didn't work, because just because your daddy was the president that you don't have to work to be a senator, but you know what I'm saying? But you already on that path. You've already been given those tools, you know, down that to go there. So it's a lot more, I don't like to minimize, but it's your privilege. So yes, it's a lot less work than maybe someone who doesn't have those same, you know, equitable resources that you have. But I think the influencers opened up this world for people to dream more. And especially when we talk about black people, because we are so creative. We're so, we have always been the bread and butter of entertainment and social influence.
Yeah.
You know, always, always. We still do. And so, it's, you know, just like with any other industry, it's time for people to get paid for that. It's time, it's, people should get paid for influencing the way that, the way of the world, you know, the way we interact with each other, the things that we say. People should be able to make money off that, you know. And they don't necessarily have to be a rapper, right? You know, they can be who they are that shifts the culture.
Yeah.
Influence, they should get paid for that. That is, you know, that is our livelihood. People say these stuff. We say stuff all the time. Like, I've been saying, you know, like, for example, like, you going about to lose your job. When I, you know, I was really heartbroken when I read that she didn't have the right people behind her, the right lawyers and stuff. She missed her opportunity, right? And to look how huge, and that was just by accident, right? Yeah. But she still influenced the culture. She influenced the culture.
Yeah,
that what you were about to lose your job has been, I mean, it made it to Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
You got Jim Carrey and Maya Rudolph, Academy Award winning, Emmy Award winning actresses and actor, using your words to make a joke about the president of the United States of America.
But that goes back to, right, but that goes back to something. I follow a lot of lawyers. Well, I got two things to say, but I follow a lot of lawyers that are entrepreneurs on Instagram. And one of them, one of the biggest things she said, she was like, you know, she was like, it's very important for her, for black people to protect their intellectual property. She was like, it's very important to me. Cause she was like, you know, because she was like, back in the day, she was like, this goes back to slavery. She was like, you know, back in the day during slavery, black people were making all kinds of stuff. And some of them, to get off of the plantation, they had to, for them to leave the plantation, anything that they created, they had to leave with the master. They couldn't take anything that they created, anything they made, they couldn't take, they had to leave all that with the master, and the master was able to keep it and make money off of it. So she was like, we've been stripped of our intellectual property since slavery. So she was like, so she, it, she always prays, she's like, if you, you know, she was like, people be telling y'all, if y'all get something like, like a, you about to lose your job, or any like name or phrase or anything like that, like she's like, you need to protect it. She like, as soon as you come up with it, if you get an LLC, you need to get you a trademark. You need to protect your intellectual property, because she was like, somebody will take it from you. You know what I'm saying? You have to protect that kind of stuff. That's very important to her. So I think you just saying how creative black people are. I think black people do need to start thinking about, we gotta be a little bit more quick. Like when we come up with something, protect that shit. Figure out a way to protect it so nobody can take it away from you. Because we get, we get fucked in so many ways, music wise, or even like with her or phrases or all kinds of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Where somebody end up taking it from us. So I think we need to, that's something that we need gotta move a little quicker on.
And that's the dream. Right? That is the dream. Cause you know, I think about Lil Nas X. We talked about him on the last episode. You know, he dreamed that he was going to be successful. Like he created, they said he said he created like over 100 memes for the old town country to go viral on Twitter. Like he created these viral, he made it go viral. He dreamed, like he knew, you know, he invested his time in the internet.
Yeah.
And he created one of the biggest fan pages to Nicki Minaj and his own fan page, his own Twitter page and stuff like that. That's why you look at his page. Now, he might only have like 6 million followers on Instagram, but he got like 5.6 million followers on Twitter. And it's way harder to have followers mm-hmm. on Twitter than it is Instagram.
Absolutely.
You know, because I look at a lot of the celebrities. Some of them celebrities that have all those million followers on Instagram don't even have 1 million on Twitter. Mm-mm. You know, I've said to have 5 million on Twitter is almost unheard of for someone that's not the biggest star out there. Mm-hmm. And I just feel, I look at him as a dreamer, right? And I still look at him as a dreamer, right? He's still trying to imagine this world as an openly black, gay pop star, right?
Yeah.
He's imagining this world. And mind you, and just think about his example, right? Like all the influences around him.
Yeah.
That's probably trying to dim his light.
Absolutely.
That tells him that he's not worthy,
yeah.
that it can't be done.
Yeah.
You're going down the wrong road. And, you know, and because I think it's because he wrote an article or he did an interview that just came out with saying that I won't go another 2 years without releasing music again. And I wonder what made him stop coming out with music for 2 years?
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I wonder, right? He doesn't go into detail about it. But he said, you know, he would never not go out, you know, go without making music again, you know, a lot more quicker. And I just wonder, the hate, you know.
Start getting, mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of this, when I'm saying, and it's haters.
Yeah.
It is haters.
They will definitely block or stunt or suppress you from pursuing your dreams. You do definitely have to have your hater braid out when it comes to haters, when you're trying to do stuff like that. But, I'm saying influencers and stuff like that because that's my world. But, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I do want to speak to, even if you do want to do something that is like not necessarily a doctor, but even politics. Mm-hmm. I was reading about, you know, or, you know, a lot of people are defending Kamala, and I might feel how I feel about her. But I mean, think
what
about
a dream.
What a dream.
What a dream.
What a dream. Like, I mean, who would have ever thought that, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? She has so much working against her. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know she was 60. But you know what I'm saying? Think about what all the stuff that she's done, all the things she's been through, in regards to how she did it or what corporate ladder she rode or whatever she did to get where she needed to get. Mm-hmm. You know, think about what she did and what, you know, regardless
of. Imagine what she had to endure.
Yeah.
Imagine.
Yeah. To get to that position. And, you know, and representation, like, regardless of how I feel about her, mm-hmm. and still, you know. Now that is something that if a little girl that is a person of color or, a person of color that's a little girl, you know, wanted to be the president or vice president, well, they have an example.
And I think the night where they actually came out when they knew that she was going to win, they had the little concert. Mm-hmm. And to see her up there with that black family next to the Bidens. And again, it gives it's hope. Like what? You know, Obama became so famous for this idea around hope. But just look at, like you said, like just seeing blackness up there, right? Just
yeah.
seeing blackness at the highest level will allow so many more girls. Like the more I dog Keisha Lance Bottom out. I'm tired of seeing a girl. But imagine what it is for a black girl growing up in Atlanta to see this black woman looking good with a nice haircut coming mm-hmm. through. Now she be getting on my nerve what she be saying, but she represents. Or when they looking at Kamala, then you got the Stacey Abrams, mm-hmm. and you got Keisha Lance Bottoms, then you got the other girl, the Islamic girl that won her seat back in the represent. So you seeing all these women of color actually being in, because we didn't see that.
That's what
the, we. All I knew was Shirley Chisholm.
Okay.
And, you know,
right.
You know, basically, I'm not gonna say that my knowledge of politics has been ignorant. Even through college, they just you just didn't see a wave of black women at the highest level of government.
But even think like that's what on a same well another podcast was in that that's what this one guy was talking about with his sons. He was like, my son. He was talking about his first remembrance of the first president, which we're the same age, so we kind of remember the same one. I think he was saying Clinton was probably like one of the first. Mm-hmm. I think I remember Bush, but yeah. Not Clinton was the first one I kind of just knew about. Mm-hmm. But he was like the first president that his sons remember is Obama.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, you know, when Trump won, he was like, oh, well, white man's in office now.
Mm-hmm.
We would never say that, like, right, oh, like, a never. White man, like, oh, a white, oh, now they got a white one. Like, mm-hmm. We like, you know, so that's how they see it. And now, you know, all these women who had their daughters seeing this black or, you know, woman of color on stage, you know, they get, you know, that's going to be like, oh, okay, you know, so next time, oh, they got a man this time. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? Oh, it's a man in there now, a white man. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? When they get older, you know what I'm saying? Because
they can see that they can see the possibility.
Exactly.
They could see the dream. They could see their kids dream. And then they could put that dream into drive. And that's why, going back to, I mentioned her just for a second, why I really liked that show, because what the show was able to do, what the show, or highlight the actual drive, like when she would say, beep, beep, yeah. Try to put the keys in ignition, mm-hmm. and actually the process mm-hmm. of dreams, right? You know, because I think what we have to educate, or really not just educate, just make it very clear that it is work and dreams, right? Dreams are not just, you can dream, but know that it's a process. Yeah. You know, being a dreamer is not just simply that I want to be that, or I want to do that when I grow up. You have to believe. And within that belief, you know, the work comes. And that's, I feel like work. The dreaming, what inspires yourself. You have to inspire yourself.
Yeah.
You have to motivate yourself.
You do.
And that's where, like, going back to where the privilege shows up. So when someone who don't believe, it's hard for them to motivate themselves. It's yeah. harder for them when they don't feel worthy, or they don't see that tunnel vision that we talk about. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't see what they're aspiring or dreaming to do,
yeah,
it gets harder for them. So that privilege in dreaming is real. And I feel like what it means is the people who don't have it deserve it, right? Because I think that's what we all need. You can't predict factors on the outside. You can't predict the ways of the world. You can't mm-hmm. predict the doubters, the haters. You can never be prepared for that. The only thing you can do is dream and dream big and do the work, so that kind of contradicts the outside noise. You know? That's how you be prepared.
Hello, 2020.
Stay in your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Stay in, right. You cannot 2020. The people that was able to pivot the most were the dreamers.
They are the ones that pivot the most and thrive in mm-hmm. it. Like, and I love to see, and I understand for people who, you know, it's harder. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be respectful of that, but I love to see all the people that are just pivoted and they kept pushing and they just are making stuff happen, or they having these big, you know, wins with revenue of monthly and or how much money they make and all this kind of stuff. I love to see that. Or even people like me. Mm-hmm. Who didn't see any money for what they did, but I kept moving anyway. And exactly. I can look at and I see the progress in what I did, because I didn't stop because of the circumstances that was happening on the outside. You know what I mean? Because I think about, I'm like, well, I just switched my blog over to Essence of Style at the beginning of this year. Mm-hmm. Like, it seemed like I did it last year.
All year.
Right. It feels like I've done it. Right. So, and I'm still like working without seeing, and that's what you're talking about, the work. You have to, you work without seeing, you have to, you work without seeing a direct result. Mm-hmm. The dream is what keeps you pushing, because you're like, you're doing stuff and it's like, you don't see anything immediate, but you have to know that you're like, I consider myself like Bob the Builder. And I'm Bob the Builder. I'm a gardener. I'm planting seeds. I'm doing all these things. And the dream is that I know that I'm building something and something's going to grow. The dream is what keeps me pushing. But if I didn't have that, I would just think I'm doing everything for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Or everything in vain.
And that's what people get discouraged and people get off that course. So, I mean, we got a dream. And I just love that concept. I love this topic because it's beyond just this idea of what we call dreaming, right? Mm-hmm. It's really, like you said, that self-confidence. It's that generational trauma. Mm-hmm. It's you know, environments that we grew up. It's what your mama and daddy said, what you went through, if you was abused, if you were just like, all this shit can really affect the way we move.
Yeah.
And it's not to be taken lightly. That's why I said, like, I feel like it's probably more strength in the stories of the non-dreamers, that if they could ever get over what is stopping them to make them believe that they're not a dreamer, there is power on that side. I feel like they probably have more. Like, if you take someone who just don't believe in dreams, right? They don't really have that aspiration to believe that it's more. Then I always wonder, like, if you can get to that, whatever is making them feel that way, and they overcome that, wow, what a testimony. Like, what makes their dream that they're going to go, it's like, well, damn, they really going to push.
It's so funny that you say that because, okay, in the couples, Mr. and Mrs. Kev on stage, Mr. Kev on stage is bigger right now, but he always says, he was like, you're going to surpass. He tells his wife, she's the non-dreamer, and he tells her, you're going to surpass me. Mm-hmm. He was like, I know she's going to surpass me. He was like, she's going to do things way bigger than I ever could do. Mm-hmm. He was like, so that's why he always is pushing her, because he was like, you're going to be so big. I already know you're going to be bigger than me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He's just like, I know it. I already know you're going to be bigger than me. And I think that's so, like, funny that you say that, because that's what he sees. He's like, girl, he's kind of like you. Mm-hmm. I found out what people like you are. Because I always say, like, well, I have a name for you now. I'll put it that way. You're a lapidary. Do you know what a lapidary is?
Mm-mm.
A lapidary is a person who actually carves, like, gems and stones. Like, they normally are people who, like, forms diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's you. You be seeing diamonds. You be seeing, like, a diamond in a person, but you be wanting to chisel down. Like, okay, I'm going to chisel and turn to get to the diamond. You apply the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, Tyreek's a lapidary. You apply the pressure to try to create a diamond. And you see that in everybody. But he's kind of like that, too. So that's what I'm saying. He sees that in her. He's like, girl, you're going to be bigger than me. But she don't see it.
She don't see it. That's why I just wonder what, like, once she sees it, that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like that is the power. If power, like, testimonies is a part of the dream. Because I feel like people who never had nothing dreams for the most. They dream big because they never had it. Like, if you always had something, the idea of you getting something else is like, okay, right?
Yeah.
You know, if you always had something, rather, the idea of you getting something else is not a major. But when you've just been down and out.
It's so funny that you say that, because it's this other guy I follow. His name's Tay Sweats. And he was just talking about this, I think today. I saw it early this morning. He was like, people always want to know why I'll be flossing. He's like, I've been flossing. He's like, why are you flossing your watch? You spent $60,000 and why are you flossing all this kind of stuff and stuff like this? And he was like, because he was like, where I come from, he was like, this is the type of stuff that people like me think about. He was like, we think about stuff like this. He was like, we think about big houses, nice cars. He was like, people from the street, the hood, this is the type of stuff they think about. He was like, and this is a way for me to be able to communicate with them. Pretty much proof of concept.
Yeah.
Like, this is, if you do this, you know what I'm saying? He invests in stock market. He's like, if you invest in stocks and stuff like this, you can get this kind of stuff. And he was like, I'm just like the people that, you know, from the hood. I come from the hood. I like this type of shit. That's what type of, and you think about it, like,
the hood people.
The drug dealers. Oh my God, like the Payton Full, the movie that was behind them, and I saw the real story, and I just, how in the 80s, how when they was getting money, what they did, like the big gold chains and the Gucci, and they would have these custom made. And I'm just like, black people are just so swagalicious. And it was just such a thing. Like, that's how we are. We know, we want, not all of us, not all of us.
But I mean, that's what we do.
Real.
You know, in Detroit, you know,
even look at Cash Now.
Right. You know, that was a place where dreams were made, and that's what Detroit became, you know, whether it was the Motown dream or the Motor City dream. Yeah. That's why people in Detroit is known for their styles and fashion, because it was the city where a lot of dreams were made for black people. And black people know how to celebrate their dreams or show you what they got, you know, where they from in style.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, you know, and it could be looked at, you know, negatively if that's the angle you're trying to go with it. But the other angle is like, look how we do this. When we can get it, we can show you how it's supposed to be done.
And I think that's what we do. And I think that's how I always look at it. That's why when people be saying, people, you know, they be bragging and stuff like that. Some case, I'm like, no, they just showing you how they do it. Like, I'm successful and this is how I do it. And I think I've always gotten that. Like, I'm going back to Motown 25 with Diana Ross. I saw her on stage with this fur. And I'm like, why is this bitch is just on the stage with a fur singing, you know, a song? Like, why? You know,
why?
But then going and, you know, once I find out, I'm like, oh, this is just how this bitch does it. But then I think, or not bitch. I don't like to disrespect her like that. Because she's like, don't call me a bitch. Like,
don't call me a bitch, y'all. You know what I've done.
Right.
You
know right. But I'm going to go get married to Jumper.
Diana, bitch.
But no. So yeah. So, dreamers or people who don't dream, that is definitely something I kind of think I want to look into that too. Because it's almost like, is they're people that we need to speak more. We need to speak life into. If you think about it, if we have a person who doesn't dream like that, it's almost like we need to do a case study on them. Like, well, what do we need to do to get you over that hump? Because you know, to become this big thing. Because like you said, if you get them on the other side, the things that they could do, you know what I'm saying, especially black people, the power
it's
in that.
Limitless.
Yeah,
it's limitless. So keep dreaming, folks. Yes, yes. I love this topic so much. You know, I love being a dreamer. And I will continue to keep dreaming. Like, I ain't did a fourth attempt.
Hello.
Of
I haven't even scratched the surface. Because let me tell you, like, well, you know, but like, I have my spirit animal, like the stuff that she be doing. I'm like, oh baby, that's scratching the surface for me too. That's why I said when I would have my come to Jesus, I'm like, I am nowhere near what I'm supposed to be doing. Because one more thing, I don't think, and this is something I got this from somebody online. I don't remember who, so I'm not trying to be shady. I took it from somebody, but I don't remember who it was. But I don't think God would tease me with the images that I had in my head. I don't think that God would put these images in my head just to say, oh, you'll never have that. So anything I think of big, I believe it's mine. And I think that applies for everybody.
Everybody. Own it. Claim it.
Yep.
Well, all my dreamers and future dreamers who might consider themselves non-dreamers, hit us up on the podcast, you know. And you know what? I just want to say thank you to everybody who continues to listen to us and who continues to support us. I don't think sometimes we say thank you enough. Maybe we should do like a thank you post or whatever. But, you know, we What Works For Us podcast on Instagram. What Works For Us on Facebook. And I think we're going to be doing a Twitter. I think Twitter really works really well for podcasts. So, you know, we'll see. Hopefully we get a Twitter. But I'm Mr. Telltales on all that good stuff. So hit me up, you know. Emerson, what's popping with you, girl?
I'm Essence of Style on Instagram. If you want to know where else I'm at, click the link in my bio or go to EssenceOfStyle.com.
All right. Make sure you guys, you know, touch on your genitals tonight.
Holla. Oh, my gosh. Love the light. On the cliffs of Pete like I'm Harold Miner. I spit that fire like Dawson from Street Fighter. Off the chain like Django Spawner. Ghost Rider. I'm flying like...